Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So, here we go. COVID. You know, we've got Will Hernandez in quarantine. So he won't be around on Monday, we assume. But the other linemen who were exposed to him have tested negative and are hopefully back on the field.
Right. Everybody was back yesterday. You just heard the clip from Nick Gates during the update a few moments ago. They were there yesterday to go through the full practice. Everybody's fine, except, as you said, Hernandez, the left guard, still in the protocol. Now, he's got to be in it for a minimum of 10 days, and of course, it could be longer. Gates said that Hernandez was asymptomatic. He's feeling well, but because of the positive test, it puts him out of action, not only for this game, but you're not going to see him next weekend either when they play Washington. So that's a minimum of two games. If everything comes through clear after that, then they can talk about getting him back on the practice field and preparing him for the following week's game against Philly. But for the time being, it would look like Shane Lemieux, the Oregon rookie who was drafted in the fifth round, would step in as the new left guard.
Yeah, and they even got to the point where they had to put a tight end in, Eric Tomlinson, at right tackle during practice. Is that something that could stick? I mean, Judge touted his blocking abilities.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Tomlinson, a big, strong fella who, as you know, had a cup of coffee with the Jets a couple of years ago. They were down to four healthy offensive linemen at practice on Thursday. And so Tomlinson became the starting right tackle for the day. As Judge said, you never know in these days and times when you're going to be in a bind. So maybe it's not so bad that for one practice, they had to adjust. They even used some of their defensive linemen and had them mock offensive linemen on the scout team because they were so desperate for big bodies. You know, these are the kinds of things that you never know. You could get hit with it all of a sudden with one day or maybe even only hours to spare before a game. So Judge kind of looked at it as we had a chance to at least run the drill.
Indeed. Well, I mean, the offensive line hasn't really been a strength of this team, we know, for a while. They put it together. It's gotten better, but you know, Andrew Thomas has struggled, and I wonder what they're thinking with him now at this point. Is he somebody that, I mean, they see things that are correctable? You know, I'm sure you've read all the little scouting reports from other people saying, oh, you know, his technique is very, very different than it was at Georgia, bending the wrong way. His, you know, he's fallen in some bad habits. What's your take on that?
Well, I think the Giants understand that patience right now is the best way to go. There are two key issues with him. It's his punch or his strike, if you will, depending on what nomenclature you'd like to use, and also his footwork. In the footwork situation, he's just cheating. He's trying to defend the edge. Clearly, he has lost confidence in himself. And when you doubt yourself, you tend to have sloppy habits or you tend to cheat and overplay a certain factor or technique that you're trying to use, and that's what winds up getting you in trouble. The only way to break him out of this is to continue to play him. And the Giants understand that. So I don't think he's in any danger of being pulled. Mark Colombo, the offensive line coach, said this week that they're not there yet. And so I just think that Andrew Thomas, as he continues to get his reps and gains his confidence, again, it's one of those things, chicken before the egg. Do you gain your confidence back before you start to play well? No, usually you kind of have to gain the better reps, which then gives you your confidence, which then allows you to continue to play well.
Yeah, and that penalty that got called on him last game where he's not on the line of scrimmage is a great example of him cheating, you know, of him, you know, just backing off so he gets a little extra room to operate there and blocking.
Yeah, he needs to understand that he has all of the requirements to be an outstanding player at his position in this league. And once he believes that, and it's hard for him to believe that right now because he has had some struggles, and it kind of feeds a vicious circle. Until he goes out there and has a couple of really good games in a row, he's probably going to continue to doubt himself and will not play with the assertiveness that he needs to. And that's the shame of it, because the Giants know that he's got it in him. He just needs to believe in himself more.
Well, and this will be a test because Tampa rated number one against the rush. They've got a very, very good defense, and you know, this is they're going to be put to the test.
Oh, my goodness. This is a terrific defense. By every metric, or the key metrics, I should say, they are a top 10, and in most of them, a top 5 defense in the NFL. They are terrific in the trenches on both sides of the ball, but let's just stay with defense for a second. JPP is usually lining up against the left tackle, which means he would be opposite Thomas on Monday night for most of the game. So we all know what JPP can do. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So the Giants, at least, are going to give Thomas a good test on Monday if he wants to try to snap out of this. But to me, even more impressive than their front, which has done a terrific job, is that their back seven, Richard, it looks like they're playing on roller skates. They are so fast and so quick and so instinctive. It almost looks like they're playing with 12 men on defense against your 11. That's how incredibly quick they are to get to the ball. They just suffocate teams, and it's a bad matchup for the Giants, quite frankly.
Yeah, no question about that. And you mentioned JPP, and he's had some statements this week. He's super motivated because the Giants let him go, and everybody remembers the fireworks and everything else that happened with him, and he felt they didn't give him the chance, they didn't believe in him, so he's going to be a little bit extra motivated for this game. I don't know that that's going to make that much of a difference, but he's going to be loaded for bear.
Well, you know, look at it this way. In terms of the trade itself, when they dealt him, it was a situation where the Giants were in horrible salary cap shape. And JPP, honestly, had an injury history that they no doubt thought that as he continued in his career with the age and the injury history and the money that he was not only due then but also coming up due, that they had to clear out cap room. And he was the only guy who they could really, you know, get a good taker for, understanding that he was going to remove a chunk of change from their cap space. They were handcuffed. They were strangled. That was because of the previous regime and the contracts that had been signed. So they had to deal him to gain some flexibility. So that's the reasoning behind that. And then the other situation with Jason, you know, talking like he is, well, I think we all know sometimes you time your comments because you know you're in a good spot to do something about it. You just told me how, you know, Andrew Thomas is struggling and he's a rookie, and I told you how Thomas is having some confidence issues. It's kind of bold, don't you think, for JPP to talk about how he's going to have a great game when he knows he's going up against maybe not the world's greatest left tackle at the moment?
Yep. Well, it's setting himself up. You know, when they talk about coaches and managers when they give these great pregame speeches or great meetings after the fact, and the next opponent isn't so good, it makes it look like, oh boy, they really took it to heart and it really motivated them. When in actuality, they would have probably played the same way. You know, Tom Brady too has a bone to pick with the Giants, although that's in the past so far that I don't think – is there anybody on the Giants who was around when they beat the Patriots for the Super Bowl?
So no,
I don't think that Tom Brady is like, oh, I got to get the Giants because they robbed us of our undefeated season.
Well, you know, consider the storyline between the quarterbacks is gone because Eli has retired. And then, honestly, you've got – literally more than a handful of people who have connections to the Patriots who are now part of the Giants organization. I mean, Joe Judge,
like
obviously,
coach.
Let's just start right there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, you're talking about basically people who were on his side for a number of years. The defensive coordinator, Patrick Graham, Nate Ebner, the safety, who's mostly a special teams player, Logan Ryan, who's going to be in the defensive backfield, Jerry Schlupinski, the quarterback's coach for the Giants now. I mean, you have more than a handful of those expatriates, if you will. To me, I think Brady would have more fun coming into MetLife Stadium on Monday to see a bunch of his former friends or pseudo family members, if you will, as opposed to thinking about hard feelings when the Giants beat him in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you know, just because Joe Judge was receivers coach at one point doesn't mean that he's got this secret book on Tom Brady of how to beat him or anything. I mean, we've seen enough film on Tom Brady over the years to know what he can and can't do, right?
No, well, look, Brady's been in this league for two decades.
Yeah.
If you don't know what Tom Brady can do by now, you haven't been watching football for any amount of time. I will say this, though. Jerry Schlupinski, you know, was part of that assistant coaching staff on the quarterback's coaching side. So he worked with Brady as closely as anybody else would have as you know, part of that quarterback's room. If there's any idiosyncrasy that maybe you can't pick up on film, Schlupinski's the guy who's going to know that. And I'm sure that, you know, he has shared that with the rest of the folks in the Giants locker room. Not that that's going to make any difference, because the way the Buccaneers are rolling right now, if you watch the way they destroyed the Raiders last weekend and Brady was as sharp as a tack, you know, the Giants are going to need more than a couple of tips to be in this game.
Antonio Brown plays on Monday night?
No. He is still not eligible to play. But, you know, Mike Evans will be there. And quite honestly, funny part about it is this is a guy who every year of his career has had more than 1,000 yards receiving. But he's not on track for 1,000 this year because Brady has been spreading the ball around so well. He's got four guys with 20 or more catches. Now, Godwin's got himself a broken finger. So Chris Godwin's not going to be available for this game, and he's one of their leading receivers. The surprise of the year for them has been Scotty Miller, a short, diminutive guy, like an Edelman type, like an Amendola type. That's the kind of player he is. And he's averaging over 16 yards a catch. He's been become their deep threat. And then, obviously, the last 2 weeks now, Gronk has just all of a sudden woken up from his slumber. He's had a couple of five-catch games in the last 2 weeks and looks like the Gronk of old.
Yeah, and clutch catches. You know, back to Brown, what's your take on that? I mean, here's a team that obviously, you know, you've seen the offense roll. There are injuries, as you pointed out, at wide receiver. He has distributed the ball. Is this a good gamble, bringing a guy like that in who is obviously has a lot of baggage, has had a lot of problems in the past? I mean, is this one of those things where you're shoving your chips into the middle of the table and hope that you don't lose it all?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that the Buccaneers, knowing that they signed an ancient Tom Brady, but seeing how well he's playing right now, they feel like they've got to go for it all right this very moment. I think they realize that they're on borrowed time. They bring Gronk out of retirement. Obviously, Brady, you know, I don't know how much sand is left in the glass, even though he's playing extremely well right now. They go and they get Ndamukong Suh, who we know has also been a off-the-field issue with some attitudes and some of his play at times. Also, quite honestly, called lazy at times in his career with the Rams. So, you know, they've got some questionable guys who, you know, you can't feel 100% about, but they're all rocking and rolling right now. Leonard Fournette, I mean, another guy they went out and they went and grabbed. This is a team that has decided, you know what, we're all in right now. Let's just load up with as many talented players as we can. Forget about anything else that might be in their personnel folder, no matter what it may be. And let's take a shot and see if we can get it this year. I don't think there's any doubt that's what Tampa Bay did.
Yeah, and you've got a head coach who has criticized his 43-year-old quarterback to great media consternation, even though I didn't think what he said was all that inflammatory.
No.
But, you know, you heard that. So you got a guy who's, you know, willing to come down on players when he feels he need to. So I wonder how Brown and some of those others are going to do on this when they hit, as inevitably happens, a bad streak.
Well, that's the key. Right now, they're playing as well as they can. These last 2 weeks, they seem to be hitting a roll. Now, does this roll last all the way through into the postseason and the Bucs just skate right into the Super Bowl? Look, it was my opinion before the season, Richard, when they signed Brady, I didn't think they were going to be a playoff team because their offensive line was an absolute disaster last year. I mean, it was just really, really, really bad. Not just bad. Now, this year, what'd they do? Well, they drafted Wirfs to play right tackle. But other than that, they didn't change a whole lot on that line, and they're just playing a whole lot better. Obviously, they've imported a lot of these veterans. But really, it starts in the trenches between the O-line and their D-line. That's where it all starts. And when you win the trenches like that with the players that you can, you know, put out there, you're going to put yourself in position to win as often as possible. It's not really a secret formula. It's kind of been tested for many, many decades.
Yeah, and you got the Giants on the other side where they are certainly playing for the future. And with that in mind, the trade deadline is coming up. And, you know, there's an offensive lineman who might be able to help another team. But the Giants are saying, hey, look, we can't get Daniel Jones killed here. We got to keep things together and, you know, at least keep that offensive line as cohesive as it can be for the short term, even though we might be able to get something that would help us in the long term.
Richard, I appreciate your perspective on this because it's really not one that I have seen expressed in any of the writings around the media this past week. Everybody keeps talking about, oh, Kevin Zeitler, from a business perspective, because of his age and his contract and because of the young guys the Giants have in reserve, they should just go ahead and make that deal and see if you can get something for him and then just plug in Shane Lemieux, a guy we just talked about moments ago. And I understand that, but that's also short-sighted because, as you just said, peel back the covers on a potential deal like that. Do you really want to lessen the experience of this offensive line and put Daniel Jones in harm's way? I mean, the second half of this year, if there's one thing the Giants really need to do more than anything else, that is give Daniel Jones a chance to continue his maturing, his development, and his progress. That's the one thing more than anything else that has to happen with this Giants team over the next 2 months as they get closer and closer to the offseason. They want to make sure that Daniel Jones has that arrow going right to the sky. And his best chance to do that is to give him a chance with an offensive line that at least gives him an opportunity to compete. And they've been struggling as it is so far. Do you really think that trading their most accomplished resume offensive lineman is the smartest thing to do? I'd have to be bowled over with an offer I could not refuse before I made that decision.
I'll contact Luca Brasi and see what he can do about that one. But, but you know, the other thing, too, and it's silly to talk this way, but, you know, you look at Dallas down to their third-string quarterback. You look at Philly. The Giants should have beat them the other night. Washington. I mean, Washington's coming on a bit lately, but they're certainly not a great team. You know, the division is there, but to me, it's fool's gold. I mean, if you make the playoffs, if somehow the Giants or any of those teams can make the playoffs by winning the division at 4-12 or 5-11 or something ridiculous like that, it is fool's gold. It doesn't mean that you're a good team. It just means that everybody else stinks, right?
Yeah, well, you know, Richard, the only other side to that coin that you have to acknowledge is that the playoffs are all about who's playing well at that time, who is injured, who's not injured, you know, who's got COVID or doesn't have COVID, so who's going to play in the game. And really, it, again, it's all about matchups. And so, you know, is it possible that whoever gets out of the NFC East, which you're right, does not deserve a playoff spot, but is it possible that that team in the first round catches an opponent that is a good matchup for them and may not be playing well at the end of December and also possibly may or may not be less healthy in terms of having a full lineup? Sure, in the National Football League, those things are always possible and they're not far-fetched. So would I be shocked if the NFC East representative actually wins a first-round playoff game? The answer is no. I would not be shocked because we just don't know how those variables could fall into place. The dominoes could easily line up for a victory.
I would be shocked, I have to admit,
that's
Paul.
Okay.
But,
that's fine. You know?
Yeah. But, I mean, you look at the next three games. The Giants play Washington. They play Philadelphia at MetLife. They play Cincinnati, who you don't know. They could be not so good, could be good. And they have Dallas at the end of the season. So those are four games they could win. And that puts them at five wins, 5-11, and who knows with the rest of the division, right?
No, I know, Richard. I think clearly, you know, the Giants would be heavy underdogs in games against Seattle and Baltimore and obviously Tampa Bay. I'm sure they'll be underdogs to Arizona. Other than that, yeah, I think those games, those other games are certainly winnable games. You expect them to be competitive based on what they've done in the last couple of months. But back to your point about, you know, there's only been two losing teams to make the playoffs, and we saw what happened before. It's not far-fetched based on that.
What did Carolina at 7-9 recently won their first-round game, I think, if we go back a couple of years there.
7-8-1, I believe they were.
Yeah.
And
okay,
also Seattle was also under 500 when they had made it one time.
Yeah. So it can happen, but again you know, I don't think you base your season and your trade and everything else based on, hey, we can make the playoffs this year. You know, I think you
no,
have to be realistic.
You know? Not at all. I do think this, you know, the division has obviously been a real jigsaw puzzle this year to figure out. And the only thing, as I mentioned a few moments ago, if I'm the Giants right now, I really would like to see that quarterback, you know, get those arrows all pointed in the right direction consistently so that over the next 2 months of the season, you can feel really good about him going into the offseason. If they can accomplish that, I think it would be something that they could chew on.
Yep, absolutely. And the turnovers, number one on that list, maybe. All right, we're out of time, Paul, but thank you, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
Good to be with you, Richard.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.